Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we're studying the book of Acts, chapter 24. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. Good to be with you guys. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. With that said, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 24. We'll be beginning in verse 22 this morning. It's an interesting time in America, huh? We really need to be praying for our state, for our cities, for our country. And as believers in Christ, you know that God has birthed you and I in this country where we have freedoms, and they can't take those away, but we can give them our rights if we give them to them. So don't let anyone coerce you into doing anything with your body that you do not want to do. The interesting about these vaccine mandates is that Congress is exempt from them. The entire White House staff is exempt from them. The post office is exempt from them. But we are not. And so there's clear hypocrisy. So stand for your rights as an American, as believers in Christ. Don't let anybody coerce you into doing something you do not want to do. And so is everyone in Acts 24? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace, your love, and your mercy. Lord, you are so good to us, Lord. Where would we be without you? You are the one true living God who made the oceans, the mountains, the planet, Lord, all the living creatures, Lord, the heavens. You are the God of Moses. And Lord, we look to you this morning so that you might teach us, that you might give us this day our daily bread, the bread of your word. Speak to us, Lord. Give us humble hearts, for with pride you cannot speak to us. And so, Lord, remove our pride. Help us to receive your word as children. May it be all of you and none of me. I can do nothing in and of myself. But, Lord, you give strength, so we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, as you know, is in Caesarea, that beautiful Roman headquarters of the governor at the right there in the Mediterranean, about 70 miles west of Jerusalem, and he's in prison there, and he's there because of his faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what it comes down to, the reason he's in chains. He had gone up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, wanted to share Jesus with his countrymen, and you know the story. The Sanhedrin there wanted to kill him. They plotted to kill him because of the gospel message, and the Roman commander Lysias, finding out Paul is a Roman citizen, sent him to Caesarea by night in order that his trial might be held there. And so Paul is in Caesarea, and he's before the governor of Judea, which was Felix. And the interesting thing about his trial is similar to the trial of our Lord as he was before Pilate, in that it wasn't Jesus who was on trial, it was Pilate who was on trial. And Paul the Apostle, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, it's not he who is on trial, it's Felix. And it's the religious leaders who have falsely accused him of starting a riot in Jerusalem, falsely accused him of speaking against the law of Moses, falsely accused him for desecration of the temple. But he's there because of Jesus. And it's not he who's on trial. They are. And this world is still on trial. Amen. And we as Christians are ambassadors for Christ, preaching the truth and seeing how the verdict will go. Man needs to choose for himself whether or not he will accept Jesus or not. But anyways, he's there. And the religious leaders have gone down there in order to assure that Paul is condemned by the Roman governor, Felix. And even Ananias, the high priest, has gone there. And they got a hotshot lawyer to to speak for them. And he has already spoken before Felix and said terrible things about Paul. And so now Paul is speaking for himself. Paul proclaimed to Felix that he was innocent of the accusations and that he was being judged for his belief in the resurrection. You see, the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, they were divided into two groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as you know, believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees do not. Thus, the reason they are sad, you see. They do not believe in a resurrection, and it really riled them up, you know, to believe that when you die, nothing happens. You know, you just vanish, become dust or whatever. But the reality is that there is a resurrection. In fact, Paul said in verse 21, it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. In other words, the reason why I am being judged, Paul said, or condemned, is because I'm preaching Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And again, the reality for the human existence, the truth of the human existence, is that it doesn't end here. And for believers, that is the most exciting and most wonderful thing, that there is a hereafter, and that hereafter is with Jesus in heaven. And he said, if I go away, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will return for you. And so we have a place as believers in heaven. There is a hereafter. It doesn't end when we die. We are resurrected with new bodies in order to live in heaven. But those who reject Christ, they also are resurrected. And they go to Hades for judgment, to hell. And so it's a real serious matter, the matter of everlasting life. And this is why the condemnation is coming upon them. If there's an afterlife, then there is accountability. If it doesn't end all here, then what happens next is a real serious matter. And knowing the seriousness of that matter, we try to convince our neighbors, our friends, our family to put your trust in the Lord, because there is a resurrection. Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. I mean, this was his proclamation, that he is the resurrection and the life. He does not want us to live in fear of death. He does not want us to live in fear of our circumstances. He wants us to trust in him as the living God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him shall never perish, never die. Guys, it's a beautiful truth that we just transfer into new bodies. He made it possible. This is why Paul is being condemned. But it's actually they who are condemning themselves with their actions and with their words. Paul would write concerning Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who was sinless, died on the cross so that we can have a relationship with God who loves us. God is holy, and he loves us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sent his son so that we can have fellowship with him. We can enjoy his love and his goodness. That we can enjoy a cleansing of our sins and a clean conscience. Oh, how beautiful our Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was sinless. He never sinned. He was on the cross for our sins. The wrath of God was placed upon him. Our punishment was placed upon him. And his righteousness was placed upon us. And when it comes to the resurrection, it all comes down to whether one believes in Jesus or doesn't. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 12, John, the sweet, beloved apostle, who laid his head upon Jesus' chest on that night he was betrayed, he writes, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This was you know, one of the main three people in Jesus's circle. And he's telling us the truth about the resurrection and eternal life. He who has the Son has it. He who doesn't have the Son have it. And this is why we meet, not just to edify one another as a church, but to use this place as a platform for sinners to realize that no matter what sins they've committed, Jesus wants to give them eternal life if they just turn to him before it's too late. And so after hearing all this, verse 22, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And so we see here that Felix, a great commentary by Luke, the writer here, tells us that Felix had knowledge of the way, and the way was Christianity. That's what they called Christianity in the beginning. It was known as the way. So the governor had knowledge of the way. He no doubt had. I mean, he's the governor of Judea. He's been around the first Christians, no doubt. All the news about Jesus Christ, all that was done, was everywhere. So he knew. He had a good account, an accurate knowledge of Christianity. But yet, he's not a believer. He knows of Jesus. He knows of Christianity. He's going to hear Paul at a later time. And Luke just makes us aware of the reality that he actually had a more accurate knowledge of Christianity. And isn't that the way with many people in the world today? Perhaps in churches today? Oh, not in ours. Ours, we're perfect here. But isn't that the way with so many people? There's a familiarity. There's a knowledge, maybe biblical, maybe of how church services go. Maybe they've, you know, maybe through family or friends, they've come to, even perhaps been involved with some church activities. Perhaps even served. They have the knowledge, but there's no real love for the Lord in the sense that drives them to obey him. Which in God's estimation, it's not just what we know, but it's who do we love. If we love Jesus, he doesn't say you'll know a bunch. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandment. He doesn't say, you know, if you love me, do religious activities and then do whatever you want. Which is the case with many people. They do religious activities. They learn what Christianese talk, right? They know how to say God bless and hallelujah and all of these things. God's looking for obedience. Felix has heard the lingo. Felix knows things about the faith. But knowing isn't enough, guys. Knowing is not enough. My heart goes out to the youth. My heart goes out to the youth who perhaps have Christian parents, who bring them to church. My heart is that the kids will gain a heart for Jesus on their own. That they make a transition one day from I'm only here because I'm dragged here by mom, dad, grandma, uncle, aunt. My goodness, I understand that Christ died for my sins. I'm appreciative of that. And I'm going to love Christ even if no one else follows me. My mom, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my grandma, my grandpa, they don't have to drag me to church anymore. On my own, I love the Lord. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to be. It's knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love and obedience. That is the gauge of whether or not we're in the right with the Lord. What good is it if we have all this knowledge, but we have not love? What good is it if we can speak in tongues of angels and of man and have not love? What good is it if we go in and out of churches and church meetings and churchy activities and have not love? He who has been born of God does not live for themselves anymore. They live for him. You see, the interesting thing about our faith in the Lord, it's so personal, isn't it? You know, no one has to be around you or I. Nobody. But if there was a camera on us in private, it would catch us loving Jesus when no one's around. It would catch us reading the Bible when no one's around. It'll catch us praying when no one's around. It'll catch us just loving the Lord. It has nothing to do with going to church. It has to do with everything of just loving the Lord. Felix had knowledge, but he didn't love the Lord. Amen. That's what we need, especially in these times, because I want everyone to get to heaven with us. And my job is to teach what is scripturally right in God's eyes. And that is, love Jesus with all your heart, with everything you are. Think about how many things we love in this world. How many things we're passionate about. Where Jesus said, you have to love me above all those passions. And you have to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Everything that you are, love me. That's a safe place to be. And then he says, love others as yourself. And the Bible even says, if you ain't loving others, are you even born again? Lord, I love you. Help me to love your people. Just the most unlikely people to be friends, to care for one another. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's only the Lord can do it. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's heavy. Because a person who casts out a demon in Jesus' name, a person who preaches in Jesus' name, might come under the false conclusion that they are right with God because they have done things in Jesus' name. And God blessed that in his own name. He blessed that. So they come to the wrong conclusion that they must be right with him. But those things don't make you right with God. What makes us right with God is that we do his will and that we do not practice lawlessness. That's what he says in that verse. He who does my will, that's who. He who doesn't practice lawlessness. Love God with everything you have. Having accurate knowledge, Felix, you know, doesn't get you in. It's not enough. You must put your trust in Jesus. But it says here that he had the knowledge of the way, and then he adjourned the proceedings, and everyone, I'm sure, dispersed, and Paul was blessed to be able to have a nice visits from friends and some liberty. So he was being blessed. He may have been in chains, but God took care of him even in chains, right? He had the, in the county jail, they would call him the trustees. The trustees come and bring him goodies. But in our case, it would be disciples and friends. Luke was with him at this time. No more county jail references, I promise you. Verse 24, and after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And so we see him saying at the first that he was going to wait for Lysias the commander to come before he would hear Paul's case. But him and his wife Drusilla, they send for Paul on their own. They're not waiting for his trial. They send for him on their own. And no doubt they had a curiosity to learn more about the faith. No doubt. I don't doubt it at all. I believe that there are many people today who are attracted to aspects of the Christian faith and would desire to hear more about certain aspects of the Christian faith, right? I mean, who wouldn't want, you know, a faith that a Savior who takes away your sins and gives you eternal life in heaven? Who wouldn't want that? And many people say, oh, you know, I'm curious and I'm interested to learn about Christianity. Who wouldn't want to be loved by God, who is their Father and Creator? These are aspects that are attractive to the world. Who wouldn't want a savior in these dark times? Many do, and that's why we preach. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a family of folks? But those aren't the reasons why we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus to save us from our sins, our rottenness. That's why we come to him. Because we know deep down in our soul that we're empty and nothing in this world can fulfill our hearts, our soul. But so many people are just curious for the things that God can do for them as far as fixing their life without any true desire to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. And that is what the gospel message declares. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Put your trust in the Lord. That is the message. Repentance and put your trust in the Lord. Drusilla, his wife, it says here that she was Jewish. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa the First. She's a Herod, guys. We know the Herod family, notorious. Remember Herod the Great, who killed the babies when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the baby boys? So she's part of that whole system. Drusilla is a daughter of Agrippa, Herod Agrippa the First, and he was the Herod who killed John the Beloved's brother, James. Killed him. He is the Herod who also imprisoned Peter. So that's her father. So yeah, Felix has more accurate information concerning Christianity. His wife is connected, and he was the governor of Judea. And all of this started in Galilee and Judea and all that area. So yeah, he has this, but still they're curious. They're curious, and so they call up Paul. And it says here that they sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Jesus, in Christ. How blessed do you think Paul was when he received that audience? I just want to hear what you have to say about faith in Jesus Christ. I'm sure Paul was blown away. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And I pray we all are praying to God, give me an opportunity to share my faith in you with whoever will listen to me. I pray for divine appointments. Oh, Lord, please, you know, get me connected with people. I want to share my faith. I want to share about you. And so Paul, it says here that he reasoned with them, verse 25, about righteousness, about self-control, and the judgment to come. Paul reasoned to them about righteousness. That's the first thing listed here. He talks to them about righteousness. Like, what does it mean to live right before God? Right? That's part of our commission, to share the gospel and to let the world know what is right living before God. We know it because the Bible teaches us. It lists it time and time again, what it means to live right before the Lord, to walk in the Spirit and to not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And there's lists upon lists upon lists. And so here he's speaking of Felix, which was he was a terrible man. The historians say Felix was dirty and he had a lot of dirt on his hands, a lot of sin. He was a cruel ruler. He was greedy and lustful. Drusilla was his third wife, and in order to marry her, he destroyed another marriage. So he had dirt on his hands, and so here Paul is speaking to him about righteous living. To the governor. Lord, send somebody to our governor about righteous living. That it ain't about slick hair and looking handsome. It's about truth. And he just came up with another making abortion easier law. But Paul says it, and there'll be a time when you will have to say the right thing to your friends or loved ones. Just like Paul, knowing that the person you're meeting with has dirt. Knowing that you serve a God and you love a God and that God loves you who came to die for sinners. And you have what they need. Ezekiel 3 verse 18 through 19. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 10 a.m. or Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills.
Cherubim above.